Hello and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. I bet you're wondering where it all got to, but I'm afraid I've been doing something quite unusual. That's working out in the field, and Stone Pages have been in Wales, but I'll let them tell their story later. This news is brought to you in partnership with Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And that's where you can also find out what they've been up to. So now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Thornborough Music Festival gets the go-ahead, and an Irish minister is to review the Heritage Protection Act. An ancient-style reed boat is set sail to tackle the Atlantic, and a Bronze Age serpentine mound is found in England. Australian ancient rock art is to be heritage listed, and 5,000-year-old decorations are unearthed in Bulgaria. Strange green crystals are found in a 2,500-year-old Chinese tomb. And finally, National Archaeology Weekend comes to Cresswell Crags in England. The largest gathering of bands ever held in Yorkshire in England is set to draw the crowds to Thornborough Music Festival at Grawlthorpe next weekend. The three-day festival from the 13th to the 15th of July will feature more than 80 bands from all genres and is the largest gathering of its type ever seen in Yorkshire. There will be four stages, including the Sonic Henge stage, which is the UK's first three-dimensional festival performance space. Bands play on a circular stage surrounded by 26 separate speaker systems. But festival organiser Matty Jacobs is keen to remind festival goers of the main motivation behind the festival. A huge number of bands feel that the Thornborough Henges have been poorly treated by the North Yorkshire County Council, and while they have their festival there to revere Thornborough's famous ancient monument complex, North Yorkshire's mineral planners are agreeing to make the area a preferred area for quarrying. Campaign group Time Watch will be attending the festival and will be showing various campaign videos in the festival's Global Awareness Cinema, located in a reconstructed Iron Age roundhouse on the festival site. We hope that this year even more people will come to understand Thornborough, become inspired to visit it, and to try and protect the site, said Time Watch chairman George Chaplin. For more details of Thornborough Festival, visit www.thornborough.org. Tickets can either be bought online or at shops throughout the region. So for more details of Thornborough Henges, can be found on www.timewatch.org. I myself have been there, and it is one of the most spectacular monuments I have ever seen. Irish Minister for the Environment John Gormley is to review how the state protects the national heritage and landscape following the controversy of the planned construction of the M3 motorway over historic sites near the Hill of Tara. Mr. Gormley said that Tara and similar controversies of recent years raised the valid question as to whether the current measures to protect archaeological and natural landscape are adequate. However, he again insisted that there was no power to review the decision of his predecessor, Dick Roche, on the route of the motorway. He agrees with bodies such as the Heritage Council, who have said that they need enhanced measures. In the coming weeks, Mr. Gormley will be beginning a consultative process in order to bring forward a new national landscape strategy. Publishing documents relating to the recent discovery of a national monument at Lismullen, about 5 miles south of Navan, on the planned route of the M3, Mr. Gormley again insisted that he had no power to review the decision of his predecessor in relation to the routing of the road near the Hill of Tara. The minister said that he had received unequivocal advice from the Attorney General that, without a change in material circumstances relating to the newly discovered monument, it is not open for him to review or amend the directions given by his predecessor. Campaigner Vincent Salifa of Tara Watch, who has taken an unsuccessful legal challenge to the proposed motorway, called on Mr. Gormley to place a temporary preservation order on all remaining sites, stopping all works at Tara immediately and extending the remit of the committee set up to examine the Lismullen National Monument. A German biologist and amateur anthropologist is obsessed with ancient long-distance seafaring. Dominique Gorlitz and a crew of 8 plan to set sail from New York in a prehistoric-style reed boat to show that people 6 to 14,000 years ago could have made the more complicated eastward journey from the New World to return home again. The reed boat, called the Abora 3, is constructed along the lines of Thor Heyerdahl's Ra, out of 17 tons of reed papyrus that grows at 3,800 metres up at Lake Titicaca on the border of Peru and Bolivia. Gorlitz actually had some input from the late Norwegian explorer on some of his earlier boats launched in Europe. Unlike the Ra, however, the Abora has 16 leeboards, or retractable foils, for steering, a refinement that will enable Abora to tack into the wind and carry on eastwards. The idea that ancient people could have navigated and steered large vessels across vast oceans, not just drifted on the winds and currents, flies in the face of all established academic knowledge. Gorlitz is convinced that they had advanced navigation and cites the evidence such as plants known to have originated exclusively in the New World, like cocaine and tobacco, being found in the tomb of the ancient Egyptian ruler Ramesses II. Also, ancient 6,000-year-old rock drawings in Egypt's Wadi Hammamat depict reed boats with keels on their side. What clinched it for him was a plant called the bottle gourd, which for more than a decade he had badgered his professors about how the bottle gourd, which was essential for the development of irrigation and agriculture across a world that had not yet discovered pottery, managed to appear as a full-blown domesticated plant within a relatively short time in Asia, the Americas and Africa. The standard answer was that the seed was first domesticated in one place and then floated to these other places. Gorlitz, however, is convinced that the answer lies in long-distance ocean voyages, carried out for trade or colonization long before most of us believe it was possible. He feels there's evidence that people could sail in every direction, and the evidence written in the books must now be completely wrong. The Abora's website, www.abora3.de, will be posting live reports on the journey, estimated to cost more than $500,000. Well, I'll raise a glass to him and hope that his boat holds more water than I think his theory does. Archaeologists have made a find in western England that they hope will help illuminate the ritual life of Britain's Bronze Age inhabitants, a 60-metre serpent mound paved with cracked stones, believed to be the first of its kind in Europe. The Rotherwas Ribbon site crosses the route of the modern road under construction. The feature, provisionally dated to the early Bronze Age around 2000 BCE, is made up in places of one single, and in other places two successive, laid surfaces of deliberately fire-cracked stones, apparently derived from a natural deposit forming a ridge half a kilometre to the west. The source ridge lies on the other western side of a settlement, also discovered in the project at the end of 2006, and includes at least one Beaker period house from around 2000 BCE. And with activity, such as pits and buildings, probably spanning the later Neolithic to the early Bronze Age period, starting around 3000 and ending 1800 BCE. The ribbon is not laid upon an entirely flat surface either, but one that has been deliberately sculpted to undulate as the feature descends a slight slope from a small range of hills bordering the floodplain of the Wye and its confluence with the Lug. A small number of finds, including struck flints and some shards of early Bronze Age pottery, have been retrieved along with a small quantity of bone and other debris from the silts immediately overlying the feature. Mounds of burnt stone, so-called because they have been cracked by heating and rapid cooling, litter northern Europe. Some experts believe they are piles of ancient kitchen trash. The use of the stones to cover the snake-like Rotherwas ribbon mound, however, suggests that they were also used in rituals by people 4,000 years ago. Herefordshire County archaeologist Keith Ray said that it's the only structure we have from prehistory in Britain or in Europe that actually has a deliberate construction using burnt stones, which should make us rethink whole chunks of what we thought we understood about the period. The site has been compared to the Serpent Mounds in Ohio, an effigy of a giant coiled snake thought to have been built by Native Americans sometime before the 13th century AD. But the English monument, which is about 3,000 years older than its American counterpart, is covered in burnt stones, whose exact purpose has long left archaeologists scratching their heads. One hypothesis is that the burnt stones were used to cook food. They would have been heated and then thrown into the water to warm it, and as the stones cooled, they cracked and broke, making them little more than the waste product of a prehistoric kitchen. But the use of the stones to decorate the monument suggests that the rocks had ritual, not just culinary purposes. The road is intended to still continue through the monument, however. So perhaps this is one for you to log on to Stone Pages Forum and discuss further. There's also a campaigning website which can be found by Googling for the Rotherwas ribbon. And Rotherwas is spelt R-O-T-H-E-R-W-A-S. Now, moving on. Australian Federal Heritage Minister Malcolm Turnbull announced that thousands of rare Indigenous rock carvings on the Burrup Peninsula in northwestern Australia will be placed on the National Heritage List. The protection of the Burrup rock art near Karratha is a sensitive issue with the Western Australian and federal governments. For a long time, government officials have unsuccessfully attempted to balance the need for environmental heritage protection with business development. However, following a comprehensive assessment, Mr. Turnbull believes the heritage listing strikes the right balance between heritage protection and development. The 240 square kilometre area in the Dampier Archipelago to be placed on the National Heritage List includes 99% of the land where the rock carvings once existed. Western Australian legislation will continue to protect rock art on the remaining 1% of the land. Companies will work around sites of high heritage value, and in those cases where this is not possible, the art will have to be relocated in consultation with Indigenous communities. However, thousands of unique carvings have already been destroyed or moved to make way for a multi-billion dollar liquefied natural gas plant in the area. A team of archaeologists of Bulgaria's National Historical Museum unearthed a 5,000-year-old golden architectural ornament near the village of Dabin. While carrying out excavations of a small prehistoric mound, archaeologist Martin Herstoff also discovered well-preserved wall ornamentation details in the forms of spirals, which are made of tubules of pure gold. These spirals are unique artefacts compared to all other prehistoric ones found in Bulgaria until now. In the middle of the mound, Herstoff unearthed 8 different pottery objects as well, hidden in a hole and covered with stones. The excavations continue, and the archaeologists strongly believe they will find many other interesting objects that will provide them with information about the people who inhabited this land. Chinese archaeologists have made a startling discovery. While exploring a 2,500-year-old tomb in eastern China's Jiangxi province that contained 47 coffins in a remarkable state of preservation, and they were stunned to discover several pieces of green crystal lodged in the bones of the skeletons. One of the diamond-shaped crystals was 8.5 centimetres long. The coffins also contained bronze, gold, silk, porcelain and jade items, and even well-preserved body tissue. Archaeologists said the crystals appear to have grown in the bones themselves, and they pointed out that the coffins were made from the half-trunks of namu, a rare and durable wood, and then covered in white plaster. The fact that the coffins were fire-heated to make them waterproof and airtight may have been a factor in the creation of the crystals. Archaeologists said that there were no previous records of green-coloured crystals being found in tombs, and said that they would help scientists understand changes to the human body in different conditions. Scientists say that the body tissue discovered in the coffins are actually human brains that have shrunk to the size of fists, but have retained their original structure, complete with the 2 cerebral hemispheres, cerebral, and brainstem. 13 of the coffins have now been transferred to a nearby storehouse to be kept in a temperature and humidity-controlled environment. For one weekend only, on Saturday the 14th and Sunday the 15th of July, Cresswell Crags is being turned back into a time machine, taking you through British prehistory in a way that has never been seen before. See how technologies have progressed from flintknapping to bronze casting and building roundhouses. Come and have a go and see how you could have survived thousands of years ago, what you may have been living, what you might have been wearing, and even what you would have been eating. Demonstrators will come from all over the country to take part in this event. They will be joined by Phil Harding from Channel 4's Time Team, who will be around to have fun and answer any questions you may have. There will also be an archaeological excavation happening throughout the entire weekend, which you're welcome to come along and watch and see what amazing things are still being discovered at the crags. Tours will be running into Robin Hood Cave and Church Hole throughout the day. Bookings will be essential for the tours, so please call Cresswell Crags Museum and Education Centre on 01909 720 378 or email them at info@cresswell-crags.org.uk. Or finally, have a look at what they're doing on the web at www.cresswell-crags.org.uk. And I should say that that's only one of hundreds of events to be found during Archaeology Week. Log on to their website and just find out what's going on in your area. Can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK Heritage Calendar, Library and Guidance section can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again next week, where I promise we'll be here.